I was going to say, so what do you think about our friends tonight?
That's actually what I was going to say. I couldn't believe they just up and left us.
He laughed, and I couldn't help but laugh along with him. He had a great laugh.
I know, but my girls know what they want.
I couldn't have painted two better guys for them. They're exactly what they look for, I confided, leaning against the window so I could watch him as we navigated the hilly streets.
Yeah, Neil has a weakness for Asian girls, and I swear that sounded less pervy in my head. And Ryan loves him some leggy redheads.
He laughed again, glancing over to see if I was okay with his leggy redhead comment.
I was. She was.
Well, I'm sure I'll hear all about it tomorrow, what kind of impression they made on my ladies. I'll get the full report. Don't you worry. I sighed. My phone would be ringing off the hook. Silence crept back in, and I wondered what to say next.
So, how do you know Benjamin and Jillian?
He asked, saving me from small talk fever. I work for Jillian at the firm. I'm an interior designer.
Wait. Hold up. You're that, Caroline?
He asked. I have no idea what that means, I answered, wondering why he was staring at me now.
Damn. It really is a small world, he exclaimed, shaking his head from side to side as though trying to clear it.
He was silent as I sat there in limbo. Hey, want to clear that up a bit? What did you mean, that Caroline? I finally questioned, slapping his shoulder.
It's just a... Well, huh. Jillian has mentioned you before. Let's leave it at that, he said.
Hell no, we won't leave it at that. What did she say? I pushed, slapping again at his shoulder.
Would you cut that out? You're really rough, you know that? He said.
There were simply too many ways I could go with that comment, so I wisely kept quiet. What did she say about me? I asked quietly, now worried that perhaps she'd said something about my work. My nerves were already shot, and now they were pinging. He looked over at me.
No, no, it's nothing like that, he said quickly. It's nothing bad. It's just that, well, Jillian adores you, and she adores me. Of course, right?
I rolled my eyes but played along.
And, well, she might have mentioned a few times that she thought I should meet you.
He dragged out, only to wink at me when I met his eyes. Oh.
Oh,
I breathed as I realized what he meant. I blushed. Jillian, that little matchmaking shit.
Does she know about the harem? I asked. Would you quit with that? Don't call them the harem. You make it sound so shady.
What if I told you those three women were incredibly important to me? That I care a lot about them, that the relationships I have with them work for us, and no one else needs to understand it. Got it? He said, pulling the Rover to an angry stop at the curb outside our building. I was quiet as I studied my hands and watched him rake his through his already messed up hair. Hey, you know what? You're right. Who am I to say what's right or wrong for anyone else? If it works for you, great.
Hit it, Mazel Tov.
I'm just surprised Jillian would want to set you up with me. She knows I'm a pretty traditional girl, that's all, I explained. He grinned and turned the force of his blue eyes on me.
As it happens, she doesn't know everything about me. I keep my private life private. With the exception of my neighbor with the thin walls and the devastating lingerie,
he said in a low voice that could melt, well, anything. My brain was most certainly among those things, seeing as I suddenly felt it oozing out of my ears and on down to my collar. Except for her, I muttered, thoroughly scrambled. He let out a dark laugh and opened his door. He kept his eyes on mine as he strode around the car and opened my door. I climbed down, taking the hand he offered me, and almost not noticing that he traced a tiny circle on the inside of my left hand with his right thumb. Almost didn't notice it, my ass. It made my skin pebble and lower Caroline sit up straight. Nerves? Shooting like fireworks all over the place. We walked inside the building, and he once again opened the door for me. He really was charming. I had to give him that. "So how do you know Benjamin and Jillian?" I asked, walking up the stairs ahead of him. I knew for certain he was checking out my legs. And why wouldn't he? I had great stems, currently flattered by my flouncy little dress. "Benjamin's been a friend of my family's for years. I've known him practically my whole life. He also manages my investments," Simon answered as we rounded the first floor and started on the second. I looked over my shoulder and confirmed his peeking at my legs. "Ha! Caught him. Ooh, your investments. Have a few savings bonds left over from birthdays there, moneybags?" I teased. He chuckled. "Yeah, something like that." We continued up the stairs. "It's curious, don't you think?" I offered. "Curious?" he asked, his voice slipping over me like warm honey. "Well, I mean, Benjamin and Jillian both knowing us meeting at a party like this, and you being the one who's been keeping me nocturnally amused all these weeks? Small world, I suppose." We rounded the top stair, and I got my keys out. "San Francisco's a big city, but it can feel like a small town in some ways," he offered. "But yes, it's curious. Intriguing, even. Who knew that the nice designer Jillian wanted to set me up with was actually Pink Nighty Girl? Had I known, I might have taken her up on it," he replied, that damnable grin back on his beautiful face. Damn it, why couldn't he have stayed an asshole? Yes, but Pink Nighty Girl would have said no. After all, thin walls and all. I winked, making a fist and thumping on the wall next to my door. I could hear Clive prattling around behind the door, and I needed to get inside before he began to wail. "Ah, yes, thin walls. Well, good night, Caroline. Truce is still on, right?" he asked, turning toward his door. "Truce is still on. Unless you do something to make me mad again." I laughed, leaning in the doorway.
"Oh, count on that.
And Caroline?"
"Speaking of thin walls," he said,
as he opened his door and looked back at me. He leaned in his own doorway, thumping his fist on the wall. "Yes?" I asked, a little too dreamily for my own good. The smirk reappeared, and he said,
"Sweet dreams."
He thumped the wall one more time, winked, and went inside. Huh. Sweet dreams and thin walls. Sweet dreams and thin walls. Mother of Pearl, he'd heard me. Chapter 7. Poke.
Grrr.
Poke. Need, need. Poke.
Enough.
Need, need, need. Headbutt. I realize you don't know how to read a calendar, but you should know when it's Sunday. Seriously, Clive?
Hard headbutt.
I rolled over away from Clive's headbutts and persistent poking and pulled the covers over my head. Flashes of the night before kept appearing. Simon in Jillian's kitchen, with the intro heard round the world. His friends calling me Pink Nighty Girl. Benjamin putting two and two together when he learned I was the Pink Nighty Girl. Kissing Simon. Kissing Simon. No! No kissing Simon! I snuggled deeper under the covers. Sweet dreams and thin walls. Sheer mortification washed over me as I remembered his parting words. I burrowed farther under the covers. My heart beat faster, thinking about how embarrassed I'd been. Heart, pay no attention to that girl below the covers. Last night had been decidedly dream-free. But to make sure no one, Simon, could hear me screaming in passion, I'd slept with the TV on. The revelation that Simon had heard me dreaming of him had thrown me for such a loop that I flipped endlessly through the channels, trying to find something that would not sound like me having my own version of the Simon wet dream. I ended up on the all-infomercial channel, which, of course, kept me up later than I'd planned. Everything they sold was fascinating. I had to pry the cell phone out of my own hand at 3:30 a.m. when I almost ordered the slap chop, to say nothing of the half hour I will never get back after watching Bowser trying to sell me the Time Life collection of songs from the 50s. All this was in addition to listening to the sounds of Tommy Dorsey coming through the wall. They made me smile. I can't lie. I stretched lazily under the sheet, stifling a giggle as I watched the shadow of Clive stalking me, trying to figure out a way in. He tried every angle as I deflected his advances. Finally, he resumed his poke-poke, need approach, and I popped my head back up to laugh at him. I could handle this thing with Simon. I didn't have to be totally embarrassed. Sure, my O was gone, maybe forever. Sure, I'd been having sex dreams about my overly attractive and overly confident neighbor, and sure, said neighbor had heard these dreams and commented on them, getting the last word in an already extremely bizarre evening. But I could handle this. Of course I could. I'd just acknowledge it before he could. Take the wind out of his sails, as it were. He didn't always have to have the last word. I could recover from this and keep our ridiculous little truce going. I'm totally screwed. Just then, I heard the alarm go off next door, and I froze. Then I recovered and slipped back under the covers, leaving just my eyes peeping over. Wait. Why was I hiding? He couldn't see me. I heard him slap at the alarm clock, and his feet hit the floor. Why was he up so early? When all was quiet, you truly could hear through these walls. How the hell did I not realize before that if I could hear him, he could obviously hear me? I felt my face color as I thought of my dreams again, but then I got control. This was further aided by Clive headbutting the small of my back in an attempt to physically push me from the bed to give him his breakfast. Okay, okay, let's get up. God, you're such a little jerk sometimes, Clive. He fired back a reply over his cat shoulder as he stalked toward the kitchen. After getting Mr. Clive fed and running myself through the shower, I headed out to meet the girls for brunch. I was leaving the building while looking at my phone, answering a text from Mimi, when I collided with a wet, hot wall of Simon. "Whoa!" I cried as I teetered backward. His arm shot out and caught me just before I went from flustered to flat-out wrong and on my bottom.
"Where are you running off to this morning?"
he asked as I took him in. Sweaty white T-shirt, black running shorts, damp curly hair, iPod, and a grin.
"You're sweaty,"
I word vomited.
"I am sweaty. It happens,"
he added, sweeping the back of his hand across his forehead, making his hair stand straight up. I had to physically block the neurons from my brain, trying to get to my fingers with instructions to lift and nestle, lift and nestle. He stared down at me, his blue eyes twinkling. He'd make this painful if I didn't go ahead and out the giant sex elephant in the room. "So listen, about last night," I started.
"What about last night? The part where you were berating me about my sex life, or the part where you were sharing my sex life with your friends?"
he asked, raising an eyebrow and raising his T-shirt to wipe his face. I drew in a breath that sounded like a wind tunnel as I stared at abs that could almost be speed bumps. Why couldn't he be a soft, fat neighbor?
"No, I mean, the crack you made about the sweet dreams and the, well, the thin walls," I stammered, avoiding all contact.
I was suddenly fascinated by my new shade of toenail polish. It was lovely.
"Ah, yes, the thin walls. Well, they work both ways, you know. And if someone were to, say, have a very interesting dream some night, well, let's just say it would be quite entertaining,"
he whispered. My knees went a little wobbly. Damn him and his voodoo. I had to get in control. I backed up a step.
"Yes, you may have heard something I would have preferred you not hear, but that's not the way things always go down. So, you got me. But you won't actually ever have me, so let's move on. You got that? And brunch, by the way."
I finished, concluding my diatribe. He looked confused and amused at the same time.
"Brunch, by the way?"
"Brunch. You asked where I was off to this morning, and my answer is brunch."
"Ah, got it. And are you meeting your girls who were out with my guys last night?"
"I am, and I will gladly share the scoop with you if it's any good," I laughed, twirling a piece of hair around my finger.
"Nice.
Flirting 101. What the hell?"
"Oh, I'm sure it's good scoop. Those two look like man-eaters,"
he said, rocking back on his heels as he began to stretch a bit. "Are we talking Hannibal?"
"No, more like Hall & Oates."
He laughed, looking up at me as he stretched his hamstrings.
"Christ, hamstrings.
Yes, well, they can definitely work a room when they need to," I said thoughtfully, beginning to back away again.
"And how about you?"
he asked, standing straight.
"How about me what?" "Oh, I bet Pink Nighty Girl can work any room she wants."
He chuckled, his eyes twinkling.
"Eh, work this,"
I fired back, and walked away with a twinkle of my own.
"Nice,"
he added, when I shot him a look over my shoulder.
"Oh, please, like you're not intrigued,"
I called back from about 10 feet away.
"Oh, I'm intrigued,"
he shouted as I walked backward, shaking my hips while he applauded. "Too bad I don't work well with others. I ain't no harem girl," I yelled, practically at the corner.
"True still on?"
he yelled. I don't know. What does Simon say?
Oh, Simon says, hell yes, it's on, he shouted back as I rounded the corner.
I twirled about, actually doing a little pirouette. I smiled big as I bounced along, thinking a truce was a very good thing. Egg white omelet with tomatoes, mushrooms, spinach, and onions.
Pancakes. 4-stack, please, with a side of bacon. And I'll need the bacon very crispy, please, but not blackened.
2 eggs, sunny side up, rye toast with butter on the side, and the fruit salad. After ordering, we settled in for a morning of coffee and gossip.
Okay, so tell me what happened after we left last night, Mimi said,
placing her chin in her hands and blinking prettily at me.
After you left? You mean after you left me with my jerky neighbor to drive me home?
What were you thinking?
And telling everyone that he was still hard story?
Seriously? I'm writing you both out of my will, I snapped,
swallowing coffee that was too hot and instantly searing off a third of my taste buds. I let my tongue hang out of my mouth to cool.
First of all, we told that story because it's funny, and funny is good, Sophia began, fishing a piece of ice out of her water glass and handing it to me.
Thank you, I managed, accepting the cube.
She nodded, and second, you have nothing to leave me anyway, as I already have the entire set of Barefoot Contessa cookbooks, which you bought me yourself. So write me out of the will. And third, the two of you were being such downers, there was no way we were taking you out with our new boys.
Sophia finished, smiling wickedly.
New boys? I love new boys, Mimi clapped, looking like a Disney cartoon.
How was the ride home? Sophia asked.
The ride home. Well, it was interesting, I sighed, now sucking on the cube with wild abandon.
Interesting good? Mimi squealed.
If you call stooping someone on the Golden Gate Bridge interesting, then yes, I replied, calmly drumming my fingers on the table.
Mimi's mouth began to fall from her face when Sophia placed her right hand over Mimi's left, which was about to squeeze her fork into something unrecognizable.
Sweetie, she's kidding. We would know if Caroline had been stooped last night. She'd have better skin tone, Sophia soothed.
Mimi nodded quickly and released the fork. I pitied any guy who pissed her off during a hand job.
So, no dish? Sophia asked.
Hey, you know the rules. You dish, I answered, eyes widening as our breakfast was served. After we dug in, Mimi fired the first shot.
Did you know that Neil played football for Stanford and that he always wanted to go into sports broadcasting? She offered, methodically separating her melon from her berries.
Good to know, good to know.
Did you know Ryan sold some kind of amazing computer program to Hewlett-Packard when he was just 23? And that he put all the money in the bank, quit his job, and spent 2 years teaching English to kids in Thailand?
Sophia provided next.
That's very good to know as well.
Did you know that Simon doesn't consider his lady friends a harem, and Jillian at one point actually told him about me as a potential girl he should be dating? We all hummed and chewed. Then began round two.
Did you know that Neil loves to windsurf, and he has tickets to the symphony benefit next week? When he found out I was already going with you, Sophia, he suggested we double.
That sounds fun.
I was thinking of asking Ryan, who, by the way, also loves to windsurf. They all do. They surf in the bay whenever they can. And I can also report
that he now runs a charity that puts computers and educational materials into inner-city schools all over California. It's called, Sophia began.
No line for online?
Mimi quickly finished. Sophia nodded.
I love that charity. I give to that organization every year, and Ryan is the one who runs it? Wow.
Small world, Mimi mused as she began to cut her eggs. Quiet descended while we chewed again, and I tried to come up with something else to say about Simon that didn't have anything to do with his kissing me, my kissing him, or his being aware of my nocturnal verbal emissions. Simon has too short on his iPod, I mumbled, which was met with hmms, but I knew my gossip wasn't as good.
Music is important. Who was that guy you were dating who had his own album out? Mimi asked.
No, he didn't have an album out. He was trying to sell his own CDs out of the back of his car. Not the same thing. I laughed.
You dated another singer, too. Coffee House Joe. Remember him?
Sophia snorted into her breakfast.
Yes, he was about 15 years too late for the flannel, but he got an A for angst and was more than decent in bed. I sighed, thinking back.
When is this self-imposed dating hiatus going to be over? Mimi asked.
Not sure. I kind of like not dating anyone.
Please.
Who are you kidding? Sophia snorted again.
You need a tissue over there, Miss Piggy?
Seriously. There have been too many Coffeehouse Joes and Machine Gun Corys. I'm not interested in just dating anymore. It's too much of a merry-go-round. I'm not investing any more time and effort until I know it's going somewhere. And besides, O's off in no man's land. I might as well join her, I added, trying some coffee again and avoiding their eyes. They had their O's, and now they had new boys. I didn't expect anyone to join me on my dating sabbatical, but now their faces just looked so sad. I needed to turn this back to them.
So, last night was good for you guys, huh?
Any kisses at the door? Any spit swapping? I asked, smiling cheerfully.
Yes. I mean, Neil kissed me.
Mimi sighed.
Ooh. I bet he's a good kisser. Did he wrap you up tight and run his hands up and down your back? He has great hands. Did you notice his hands? Damn fine hands,
Sophia rambled, face in her pancake stack.
Mimi and I exchanged a glance and waited for her to come up for air. When she saw us staring, she blushed a little.
What? I noticed his hands. They're huge. How could you not?
She stammered and crammed her mouth full so we would move on.
I giggled and turned my attention back to Mimi.
So, did Mr. Great Hands use his great hands? It was Mimi's turn to blush.
Actually, he was very sweet. Just a little peck on the lips and a nice hug at my door. She answered with a giant smile.
And you, Miss Thing?
Was the computer genius charitable with his goodnight kiss? I giggled.
Yes, he was. He gave me a great goodnight kiss, she replied, licking syrup off the back of her hand.
She didn't seem to notice the way Mimi's eyes burned a little when she mentioned the goodnight she'd received. But I did.
So, you escaped last night unscathed, I take it? Mimi asked me, sipping her coffee.
I was still nursing the sore tongue, so I chose to stick with juice.
I did. We came to a truce, and we'll try to be more neighborly.
What exactly does that mean? She asked.
That means
He'll try to curtail his activity to earlier in the evening, and I'll try to be more understanding about his sex life, as lively as it is, I answered, digging into my purse for some money.
1 week,
Sophia muttered. Come again?
You wish.
1 week. That's how long I give this truce. You can't keep your opinions to yourself, and he can't keep that giggler quiet.
1 week,
she said again, as Mimi smiled away. Huh. We'll see. Monday morning, bright and early, Jillian came waltzing into my office. Knock, knock, she called. She was the picture of casual chic, hair swept back into a loose bun, little black dress on her little tan body, legs that went on for miles ending in red pumps. Pumps that would probably constitute almost a week's pay for me. She was my mentor in every way, and I made a mental note to make sure I someday obtained the quiet confidence she carried with her. She smiled when she saw the new flowers in the vase on my desk. This week I'd chosen orange tulips, 3 dozen. Morning. Did you see that the Nicholsons have added a home theater? I knew they'd come around. I smiled as I sat back in my chair. Jillian settled herself in the chair across from me and just smiled back. Oh, and Mimi is coming over for dinner tonight. We're hoping to finalize the plans for the new closet system she's designing. She wants to add carpet now. I shook my head and sipped coffee from the mug on my desk. My tongue had almost healed. Jillian just continued to smile. I began to wonder if I had a Cheerio stuck to my face. Did I tell you I got the glass company in Murano to give me a deal on the pieces I ordered for the bathroom chandelier? I forged ahead. It's going to be beautiful. I think we'll definitely want to use them again, I added, smiling hopefully. She finally sighed and leaned forward with a cat that ate the canary and went back for the feathers to play with grin. Jillian, did you have dental work done this morning? Are you trying to show me your new dentures? I asked, and she finally flinched.
As if I would ever need dentures.
No. I'm waiting for you to tell me about your neighbor, Mr. Parker. Or should I say, Simon Wallbanger? She laughed, finally sitting back in her chair and giving me a look that said I would not be allowed to leave my office until I told her everything she wanted to know. Wallbanger. Where to start? First of all, you can't tell me you didn't know he lived next door. How the hell could you have lived there as long as you did and not know he was the one thumping away every night? I inquired, looking back at her with my best detective sneer.
Hey, you know I hardly ever stayed there, especially the last few years. I knew he was in that neighborhood, but I had no idea it was next door to the apartment I was subletting.
When I see him, it's always with Benjamin, and we usually go out for drinks or we have him over to our place. Regardless, it's the beginnings of a great story, don't you think? She tempted, grinning again.
Oh, you and your matchmaking. Simon said you'd mentioned me to him before. You are so busted.
She held up her hands in front of her. Wait, wait, wait. I had no idea he was so, well, active. I never would have suggested you if I'd known he had so many girlfriends.
Benjamin must have known, but it's a guy thing, I guess,
she replied. I was the one to lean forward now. So tell me, how does he know Benjamin?
Well, Simon isn't originally from California. He grew up in Philadelphia and moved out here only when he went to Stanford. Benjamin has known him most of his life. He was really close to Simon's dad.
Benjamin's kind of watched out for Simon. Favorite uncle, big brother, surrogate father, that kind of thing, she said, her face growing soft.
Was really close to his dad? Did they have a falling out or something? I asked.
Oh, no, no. Benjamin was always great friends with Simon's dad. He was the one who mentored Benjamin early in his career. Benjamin was very close with the entire family, she said, her eyes growing sad.
But now? I pressed.
Simon's parents were killed when he was a senior in high school, she said quietly. My hand flew to my mouth.
Oh, no,
I whispered, my heart full of sympathy for someone I barely knew. Car accident. Benjamin says they went really quickly, almost instantly, she replied. We were quiet for a moment, lost in our own thoughts. I couldn't even process what that must have been like for Simon.
So, after the funeral, Benjamin stayed in Philadelphia for a while, and he and Simon began to talk about his going to school at Stanford, she continued after a moment. I smiled at the image of Benjamin doing everything he could to help.
I can imagine it was probably a good idea for him to get away from everything, I said, wondering how I would deal with something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Simon saw the chance, and he took it. And knowing that Benjamin was close by if he needed anything, I think that made it easier, she added.
When did you meet Simon? I asked.
His senior year of college. He'd spent some time in Spain the summer before, and when he came home that August, he came into the city to have dinner with us. Benjamin and I had been dating for a while by then, so he knew of me, but hadn't actually met me, she said.
Wow. Simon does Spain.
Those poor flamenco dancers. They never stood a chance. We met for dinner, and he charmed the waitress by ordering in Spanish. Then he told Benjamin that if he was ever stupid enough to leave me, that he would be quite happy to... Now, what was it he said? Yes. He would be quite happy to warm my bed. She giggled, her face growing pink. I rolled my eyes. This matched what I knew of him already. Although as brash as my girls and I were when flirting with Benjamin, it was the pot calling the kettle forward.
And that's how I met Simon, she finished, her eyes far away.
He really is pretty great, Caroline, all banging aside.
Yes, banging aside, I mused, running my fingertips back and forth across the tops of the flowers.
I hope you get to know him a little better, she said with a grin. Matchmaker once again. Settle down there. We've called a truce, but that's all, I laughed, shaking my finger at her. She got up and started for the door.
You're very sassy for someone who's supposed to be working for me, she said, trying to look severe.
Well, I'd get a lot more work done if you'd let me get back to it and stop with your nonsense, I said, looking severely back at her.
She laughed and looked out to reception.
Hey, Ashley, when did I lose control of this office? She called.
You never actually had it, Jillian, Ashley yelled back.
Oh, go make coffee or something. And you, she said, turning to me and pointing. Design something brilliant for the Nicholson's basement.
Again, all things I could have been doing while you were yakking away in here, I murmured, tapping my pencil on my watch.
She sighed. Seriously, Caroline, he's really sweet. I think you two could be great friends, she said, leaning in the doorway.
What's with everyone leaning in doorways lately?
Well, I can always use another friend now, can't I? I waved as she disappeared. Friends. Friends who called a truce.
Okay, so we know the floors in the bedroom are going to be reclaimed, honey-toned wood. But do you for sure want carpet in the closet? I asked, settling on the couch next to Mimi and starting on my second Bloody Mary. We'd been going through her plans for almost an hour as I tried to get her to see that I was not the only one who would have to compromise on her designs. She would as well. As long as we'd been friends, Mimi had believed she won every argument. Mimi saw herself as a badass who could strong-arm anyone into anything. Little did she know, Sophia and I had figured out that we only had to let her think she was getting her way, which made her much more tolerable. The truth was, I always knew I wanted carpet in the closet, just not for the same reasons she did. Yes, 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 it has to be carpet. Really thick and luxurious carpet. It will feel so good under cold toes in the morning, she cried, almost shaking in her excitement. I really hoped Neil would be around long enough to romance her right. She needed to release some of this excess energy. Okay, Mimi, I guess you're right. Carpet in the closet. But for that, you have to give me back those 2 feet you wanted from the bathroom for the rotating shoe rack that I vetoed. I spoke carefully, wondering if she would go for it. She thought for a moment, looked at her plans again, took a long pull from her cocktail, and nodded. Yes, take back the 2 feet. I get my carpet, and I can live with that. She sighed, offering me her hand. I shook it solemnly and offered her my celery stalk. Clive came sauntering in and began to pace by the front door, pawing under the crack. I bet our tie is almost here. Let me get my money, I said, pointing toward the door as I headed for my purse on the kitchen counter. Just as I spoke, I could hear steps in the hallway. Mimi, get the door. That'll be the takeout guy, I called, rummaging through my purse. Got it, she yelled, and I heard the door open.
Oh, hey there, Simon, she said,
and then I heard the strangest sound. I would swear on a stack of Bible and a court of actual law that I heard my cat speak. Brinya, Clive said, and I whirled about. In the span of 5 seconds, 1,000 things happened. I saw Simon and Purina in the hallway, bags from Whole Foods in hands, key in front door. I saw Mimi at the door, barefoot and leaning, again with the leaning, in the doorway. I saw Clive rear back on his hind legs, preparing to jump in a way that I'd only ever seen him do once when I hid the catnip on the top of the fridge. Babies were born, old people died, stocks were traded, and someone faked an orgasm, all in those 5 seconds. I launched myself at the door in a slow-motion run, reminiscent of every action movie ever made. No! I cried as I saw a look of panic cross Purina's face and a look of pure lust cross Clive's as he prepared to woo. If I'd started for the door any earlier, maybe even a second earlier, I could have prevented the pandemonium that ensued. Simon pushed his door open and smiled a confused smile at me as I caught his eye. No doubt he was wondering why I was charging the door and screaming, "No!" Just then, Clive jumped, leaped, charged. Purina saw Clive jumping directly at her, and she did the worst thing she could have done. She ran. She ran into Simon's apartment. Of course the girl who meows when she has an orgasm is afraid of cats. Clive gave chase, and as I stood in the hallway with Simon and Mimi, we heard shrieking and meowing echoing back to us. It sounded oddly familiar, and I was reminded of Simon bringing it on home. I shook my head and took over. "Caroline, what the hell was that? Your cat just..." Simon was saying, and I placed my hand over his mouth as I hurried past him. "We don't have time, Simon. We have to get Clive." Mimi followed me into his apartment, Ned Nickerson to my Nancy Drew. I tracked the shrieks and meows to the back of the apartment, noticing that Simon's place was an exact mirror image of mine. It was very single guy, with the flat-screen TV and the amazing sound system. I didn't really have time for a proper shakedown, but I did notice the mountain bike in the dining room, as well as beautiful framed photographs all over the walls, lit by retro sconces. I couldn't admire for long, as I could hear Clive getting worked up in the bedroom. I paused by the door, listening to Purina scream. I looked back at Simon and Mimi, who wore twin expressions of fear and confusion, although Mimi's also showed quite a bit of merriment. "I'm going in," I said in a low, brave voice. With a deep breath, I pushed the door open and saw the bedroom of sin for the first time. Desk in the corner, dresser against one wall, with top covered in loose change. More photographs on the wall, black and whites. And there it was. His bed. Cue trumpets. Pushed up against the wall, my wall, was a giant California king, complete with padded leather headboard. Padded! It would have to be now, wouldn't it? It was immense. And he had the power to move that thing with his hips alone? Once again, Lower Caroline sat up straight and took notice. I centered, I focused, and I pried my eyes away from Orgasm Central. I scanned and acquired the target. There, at the leather club chair in front of the window. Purina perched on the back of this chair, hands in her hair, moaning and wailing and crying. Her skirt was shredded, and there were tiny claw marks in her stockings. She attempted with every fiber of her being to shrink away from the cat on the floor in front of her. And Clive? Clive was strutting, strutting back and forth in front of her, giving it his all. He turned like he was on a runway, pacing along a line on the floor and glancing at her nonchalantly. If Clive could wear a blazer, he would have taken it off, draped it casually over his kitty shoulder, and pointed at her. It was all I could do not to fall down laughing. I stepped toward him, and Purina shouted something at me in Russian. I ignored her and focused all my attention on my cat. "Hey, Clive. Hey, where's my good boy?" I crooned. And he turned. He glanced at me, and then jerked his head in Purina's direction, as though he were making the first round of introductions. "Who's your new friend?" I crooned again, shaking my head at Purina when she tried to say something. I held my finger up in front of my lips. This would require great finesse. "Clive, come here!" Mimi yelled and barreled into the room. She always had trouble containing her excitement. Clive made for the door as Mimi made for Clive. Purina made for the bed as I raced after Mimi, who collided with Simon just outside the bedroom door, who was still holding his damn Whole Foods bags. Thoughtfully chosen sustainable organic produce rained down on both of them as I pushed past, hurtling over limbs and a wheel of brie on my way back to the front door. I caught Clive just as he made a break for the stairs and held him close. "Clive, you know better than to run away from Mommy," I chastised as Simon and Mimi finally caught up to us. "What the hell are you doing, cockblocker? Are you trying to kill me?" he shouted. Mimi rounded on him. "Don't you call her that, you wallbanger," she fired back, smacking his chest. "Oh, you two, shut up," I yelled. Here came Purina down the hallway toward us, wearing only one shoe and a furious look. She began to shout in Russian. Mimi and Simon continued to yell. Purina screamed. Clive struggled to get loose and be reunited with his one and only. And I stood in the middle of the chaos, trying to figure out what the hell had happened in the last 2 minutes. "Get control of your damn cat," Simon yelled as Clive tried to spring free. "Don't you yell at Caroline," Mimi yelled, smacking him again.
"Look at my skirt," Purina cried.
"Did someone order pad thai?" I heard above the chaos. I looked and saw a petrified delivery boy standing on the top step, reluctant to come any further. Everyone stopped. "Unbelievable," Mimi muttered, and walked into my apartment, motioning for the delivery boy to follow her. I set Clive just inside the door and pulled it shut, cutting off his cries. Simon ushered Purina into his place, telling her softly to find something in his room to put on.
"I'll be there in just a minute," he said, and nodded again for her to go inside.
She glared at me once more and spun off in a huff, slamming the door. He turned back to me, and we stared at each other, both starting to laugh at the same time.
"Did that really just happen?" he asked through his chuckles.
"I'm afraid it did. Please tell Purina I am so sorry," I answered, wiping tears from my eyes.
"I will, but she needs to cool off for a while before I will attempt that. Wait, what did you just call her?" he asked.
Purina?" I replied, still chortling.
"Why do you call her that?" he asked,
no longer laughing.
"Seriously? Come on, you can't figure it out?" I said.
"No, tell me," he said, running his hands through his hair.
"Oh, man, you're gonna make me say it?"
"Purina, because she... God... because she meows," I blurted, laughing again. He blushed deep red and nodded.
"Right, right, of course you would have heard that." He laughed. "Purina," he said under his breath, and smiled.
I could hear Mimi arguing with the delivery guy in my apartment, something about missing spring rolls.
"She's a little scary, you know," Simon said, gesturing toward my door. "You have no idea," I said.
I could still hear Clive wailing behind the door. I pressed my face to the edge and opened it just an inch.
"Shut it, Clive," I hissed.
A paw came out through the crack, and I swear he flipped me off.
"I don't know a lot about cats, but is that normal feline behavior?" Simon asked.
"He has a rather odd attachment to your girl there, ever since the second night I lived here. I think he's in love."
"I see. Well, I'll make sure I convey his sentiments to Nadia," he said. "When the time is right, of course."
He chuckled and prepared to go back inside. "You better keep it down over there tonight, or I'll send Clive back," I warned.
"Jesus, no," he said.
"Well, then turn on some music. You've got to give something," I pleaded,
or he'll be climbing the walls again. Music, I can do.
Any requests?
He asked, turning to face me from inside the doorway. I backed up to mine and put my hand on my door. Anything but big band, okay? I answered softly. Heart moved down low in my tummy, flitting about. A look of disappointment crossed his face.
You don't like big band?
He inquired, his voice low. I pressed my fingers to my collarbone, my skin feeling warm under his gaze. I watched as his eyes followed my hand, further heating me with the intensity of his gaze.
I love it,
I whispered, and his eyes jerked back to mine in surprise. I smiled a shy smile and disappeared into my apartment, leaving him smiling back at me. Mimi was still yelling at the delivery guy as I came inside to school Clive, a simpering look on both our faces. 5 minutes later, with a mouthful of noodles, I heard Purina yelling something in indecipherable Russian on the landing and Simon's door slammed. I tried to hide my grin, instead playing it off as a particularly spicy bite. No wall banging tonight, I guess. Clive would be so depressed. At around 11:30 that night, as I was settling into bed, Simon played me some music through our shared wall. Wasn't big band, but it was pretty good. Prince, Pussy Control. I smiled in spite of myself, delighted at his wicked sense of humor. Friends? Definitely. Maybe. Possibly. Pussy Control. I thought of it again and snorted. Well played, Simon. Well played.
Chapter 8.
A few nights later, I was headed out to yoga when I found myself face to face with Simon once again. He was coming up the stairs as I went down. If I said, we have to stop meeting like this, would it sound as trite as it sounds in my head? I offered. He laughed.
Hard to say. Give it a try.
Okay. Wow. We have to stop meeting like this, I exclaimed. We both waited a beat, and then laughed again.
Yep, trite, he said.
Maybe we can work out some kind of schedule, share custody of the hallway or something. I shifted my weight from one leg to another.
Great, now it looks like you have to pee. Where are you off to tonight? I seem to always catch you when you're leaving,
he said, as he propped himself up against the wall. Well, clearly I'm headed somewhere very fancy. I gestured to my yoga pants and cami. I then showed him my water bottle and yoga mat. He pretended to think very carefully, and then his eyes widened.
You're going to pottery class.
Yes, that's where I'm headed. Ass. He grinned that grin at me. I smiled back.
So? You never gave me the scoop on what you heard at brunch the other day. What's going on with our friends?
He asked, and I didn't at all feel a flutter in my belly at the mention of the word our. Not at all. Well, I can tell you that my girls were quite taken with your boys. Did you know they're all going to the symphony benefit next week? I said, instantly horrified that I went there that quickly.
I heard that. Neil gets tickets every year. Perks of the job, I suppose. Sportscasters always go to the symphony, right?
I would assume, especially when one is trying to cultivate a certain man-about-town persona, I added with a wink.
You caught that, huh?
He winked back, and we found ourselves smiling again. Friends? Definitely a stronger possibility. We'll have to compare notes afterward, see how the Fantastic Four are doing. Did you know they've been going out on double dates all week? I said. Sophia had confided that they'd been going out constantly, but always as a foursome.
I did hear something about that. They all seem to be getting along well.
That's good, right?
It's good, yes.
I'm actually going out with them next week. You should come along, I tossed out casually.
It's all for the truce, just for the truce.
Oh, wow. I'd love to, but I'm heading overseas, leaving tomorrow, actually, he said.
If I didn't know better, I'd say he almost looked disappointed.
Really? On a shoot? I said, and realized my mistake.
That knowing smirk came back with a vengeance.
A shoot? Checking up on me?
I felt my face go from pink to a lovely tomato red. Jillian mentioned what you do for a living, yes. And I noticed the pictures in your apartment. When my pussy was chasing your Russian, ring any bells? He seemed to shift his weight a little at my choice of words.
Weak spot? You noticed my pictures? He asked.
I did. You've got a great set of sconces. I smiled sweetly and looked directly at his crotch.
Sconces? He mumbled, clearing his throat.
Occupational hazard. So, where are you headed anyway? Overseas, I mean.
I dragged my eyes deliberately back up to his and noticed his were nowhere near my face.
Heh, heh, heh. What?
Ireland. Shooting a bunch of coastal spots for Condé Nast and then going into some of the smaller towns, he answered, bringing his gaze back to mine. It was nice to see him a bit flustered.
Ireland. Nice.
Well, bring me back a sweater.
Sweater. Got it. Anything else?
A pot of gold and a shamrock.
Great. I won't have to leave the airport gift shop, he muttered.
And then when you come home, I'll do a little Irish dance for you, I cried, and started laughing at the lunacy of this conversation.
Ah, nighty girl. Did you just offer to dance for me?
He said in a low voice, stepping a little closer. And just like that, the balance of power shifted.
Simon, 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 I exhaled, shaking my head,
mainly to clear it from the effect of his being so near. We've been over this. I have no desire to join the harem.
What makes you think I'd ask you?
What makes you think you wouldn't? Besides, I think that would mess with the truce, don't you? I laughed.
The truce, he said.
Just then I heard steps on the stairs below.
Simon, is that you? A voice called up.
At that, he leaned back, away from me. I looked down and realized we'd been inching toward each other on the landing throughout our exchange.
Hey, Katie, up here,
he called down.
A haremette? I'll watch my walls tonight, I said softly.
Stop it. She had a hard day at work, and we're heading out to a movie. That's it.
He smiled sheepishly at me, and I laughed. If we were going to be friends, I might as well meet the harem, by God. A moment later, we were joined by Katie, who I, of course, knew as Spanx. I muffled a laugh as I smiled at her.
Katie, this is my neighbor Caroline, Simon said. Caroline, this is Katie.
I offered my hand, and she looked curiously between Simon and me.
Hi, Katie. Nice to meet you.
You too, Caroline.
You the one with the cat? She asked,
a twinkle in her eye. I looked at Simon, and he shrugged.
Guilty, although Clive would argue that, in fact, he is an actual person.
Oh, I know. My dog used to watch TV and bark until I put on something she liked. What a pain in the ass she was.
She smiled. We all stood for a moment, and it was beginning to get a little awkward.
Okay, kids, I'm off to yoga. Simon, have a safe trip, and I'll fill you in on the gossip from the new couples when you get back.
Sounds good. I'll be gone a while, but hopefully they won't get in too much trouble while I'm away.
He chuckled as they started up the stairs. I'll keep my eyes on them. Nice to meet you, Katie, I said, headed down.
You too, Caroline.
Night, she called back to me. As I walked down the stairs more slowly than necessary, I heard her say, Pink nighty girl's pretty.
Shut it, Katie,
he fired back, and I swear he swatted her on the butt. Her yelp a second later confirmed it. I rolled my eyes as I pushed the door open and headed out to the street. When I got to the gym, I switched my class from yoga to kickboxing.
I'll have a vodka martini straight up with 3 olives, please.
The bartender got to work as I looked around the crowded restaurant, taking a break from the Fantastic Four. After 2 weeks of hearing about all these fabulous double dates, I'd agreed to go out with them and turn them into a Fantastic Five. It was fun, and I was having a great time, but after being with 2 new couples all night, I needed a break. People watching at the bar was a great way to get some time off. To my left was an interesting couple. Silver-haired gentleman with a woman younger than I was who had newly purchased tits.
Good girl. You get yours. I mean, if I had to look at flabby old man buns, I'd want bigger boobs, too.
I never thought I'd enjoy being alone, but lately I was finding I did pretty well without a man in my life. I was alone, but I wasn't lonely. Orgasms aside, I did occasionally miss the companionship of a boyfriend, but I liked going places solo. I could travel alone, so why not? Nevertheless, the first time I took myself out to a movie, I thought it was going to be weird. The likelihood of running into someone I knew while out and about in the jungles of Costa Rica was slim to none. But running into someone at the movies in the jungles of San Francisco? Odds were greater. But it was great. And a restaurant alone was also just fine. Turns out, I'm a great date all by myself. Still, dinner tonight with my friends had been quite entertaining. The way these 2 new couples circled each other was fun to watch. Mimi and Sophia had both snagged themselves the men they'd cultivated in their heads as the perfect matches. Just then, I spotted Sophia in the crowd, her height and gorgeous red hair setting her apart even among hundreds. Hot restaurant and an even hotter bar. This place was packed with people and pretension. I could see her chatting with someone, and off to the side I found Mimi and Ryan. What was odd? Neil, not Ryan, seemed to be Sophia's conversation partner. Ryan appeared completely captivated by Mimi, her hands moving through the air and punctuating statements with her toothpicked olive as he listened, fascinated. From where I stood, the distance afforded me perfect clarity. I couldn't help but smile. They'd found the boys they always thought they wanted, but now they each seemed fascinated by the other one. Oh, well. The grass was always cuter, right? Sophia glanced over and spotted me at the bar, and shortly thereafter, she excused herself and headed my way. Having fun? I asked as she perched on the stool next to me.
I'm having a great time, she mused.
She then told the bartender exactly how to make her cocktail. How's Neil tonight?
Her eyes lit up briefly, and then she seemed to catch herself.
Neil? Good, I guess.
Ryan looks great, doesn't he? She covered, gesturing over to where we'd left our group, and where Mimi and Ryan were still deep in conversation. Ryan did indeed look good in jeans and a shirt that exactly matched his green eyes, the eyes fixed delightedly on Ms. Mimi. How could they not see it?
Neil looks pretty good tonight, too,
I tossed out, refocusing on the brawny sportscaster. Charcoal sweater, chinos, he was every inch the man about town.
Yep,
she said icily, licking a bit of salt from the rim on her glass. I giggled and placed a hand on her arm.
Come on, pretty girl, let's get you back to your perfect man,
I said, and we rejoined the group. I departed a little before my friends did, tired but happy. Once again I'd spent an evening alone and lived to tell the tale. I wondered if other single women understood the delight that came from fifth-wheeling it. To not have to make small talk with some guy you'd been set up with, to not have to worry about some idiot with peppercorn-encrusted fillet breath trying to force his wiggly tongue down the back of your throat, and to not have to explain to that same idiot why you insist on taking a cab home when his super-fast Camaro is parked right over there. I'd enjoyed, or should I say mostly enjoyed, an assortment of relationships since high school, but hadn't really been in love for a long time. Not since senior year of college. And since that fell apart, I'd had just a series of casual flings, never really feeling fully invested in anyone. Hence, my current hiatus from dating. Getting all the parts to line up seemed more and more difficult for me as I got older, and the process could be exhausting. Lower Caroline might be on board, but brain and heart always seemed to have reservations. Plus, now that my O was also absent for who knew how long, I was finding my solitary lifestyle more and more appealing. As I mused over these thoughts, headed home in a cab, my phone beeped. I had a text from a number I didn't recognize.
Have a good time tonight?
Who the hell is texting me?
Who the hell is texting me?
As I waited for the reply, I leaned down and slipped off my shoes. Fantastic heels, but damn, they hurt my feet. My phone beeped again, and I read.
Some people call me Wallbanger.
I hated myself a little for the way my now naked toes curled.
Stupid toes.
Wallbanger, huh? Wait a minute. How did you get my number? I knew it was either Mimi or Sophia. Damn girls. They were really pushing it lately.
I can't reveal my sources. So, did you have a good time tonight?
Okay, I can play this game. In fact, I did. On my way home now. How is the Emerald Isle? Lonely yet?
It's beautiful, actually. Just having breakfast. And I am never lonely.
I believe that. Did you buy my sweater?
Working on it. Want to get just the right one.
Yes, please give me a good one.
Not going to respond to that one. How's that pussy of yours?
Really not going to respond to that one. Is there something you wanted?
This not responding thing is getting harder.
I know what you mean.
It's hard not to touch that one. Okay, officially ending this round. The innuendos are too thick to see straight.
Oh, I don't know. It's better when it's thick.
Wow. I'm enjoying this truce more than I expected.
I have to admit it's good for me, too.
Are you home yet?
Yep. Just pulled up in front of our building.
Okay, I'll wait until you're inside.
Bet you can't wait to get inside.
You're a demon, you know that.
I have been told.
Okay, inside.
Just kicked your door, BTW.
Thanks.
Just being a good neighbor.
Good night, Caroline.
Good morning, Simon.
I laughed as I turned the key in my lock and went inside. I sank into my couch, still laughing.
Clive quickly jumped on my lap, and I petted his silky fur as he purred his welcome home. My phone beeped once more.
Did you really kick my door?
Shut up. Go eat your breakfast.
I laughed again as I silenced my phone for the night and lay back on the couch. Clive perched on